Welcome to the Create the Movement podcast, where Brad Post, author of The Online Marketing Movement, and Adam Colbert, author of Rocket Your Marketing, join forces to bring you the latest insights and strategies in the world of online marketing. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Create the Movement podcast. I'm Adam Colbert. I'm here with my business partner, Brad Post. And today we're going to talk about how to leverage your existing business assets to start a new business or a new venture, and basically how you can monetize all of the things that you already have in place with your current business a little bit better. So Brad, take it away.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm excited. I think if we go way back, you know, kind of where we started, you know, Adam and I connected, through the Black Hat world or whatnot, and you helped our team, and then our team kind of shrunk a little bit. You and I just continued to stay friends and working together. And you know, one thing I was thinking, you know, we're a Facebook marketing company, Google Ads marketing company. People talk to us about niching, and I think we've tried to niche. You know, I think that's kind of where you and I, you know, we were like, hey, let's try to create a dental marketing company. You know, but when you're taking on a couple clients a month, and this, you know, another type of client comes in, it's hard to turn that business down.
And it's like, so basically, going all the way back, you know, to the whole dental marketing thing, I think we had taken a dental client and we said, okay, we were able to get a lot of patients for dental implants, and we just had this one thing that we could do really well. So we sort of spun that into the whole dental marketing agency. And then, you know, over time, as we started doing the Facebook ads, getting more heavily into Facebook ads and media buying, if it feels like we just were like, you know, why are we doing, you know, we're doing this for clients, why don't we just do it for ourselves? Yeah. And, yeah. You know, and that kind of led to like the UV sanitizing lights, Numi, all those, you know, the beauty products that we've launched and sold over the years. But it's like, I guess it's like, you know, if you have a, we just had the, you know, we have the marketing agency. So we sort of have this base of data, you know, things to test. And that kind of brings us into where we are today with the whole timeshare exit. We haven't talked about this obviously on the podcast, but, you know, with over the years, we've worked with a few attorneys and firms that offer a timeshare cancellation service. And we just got really good at it. Like, we were able to generate a lot of leads at a low cost. And we just had the opportunity, one of our clients and friend, you know, they're our friends too, but, you know, they said, hey, you guys should get into the business. And so Brad, you want to take it from there and kind of go like, Brad built the whole sales team. I don't know exactly what Brad did, but he built this whole sales team of a bunch of people, and it's working.
I think that's what's exciting, Adam, kind of about, you know, us working together is, you know, you and I both have similar strengths but, you know, I think, you know, what, I'm going to drop a acronym that you hate, but you're really good at it, is SOPs. Like, I think when we started getting into the business, like we're just launching other businesses, we started, you know, we started kind of putting processes together, and I know you hated that word, but I was just like, man, we started looking back at all of our stuff that we've done over the years. And I'm like, man, this is Adam, this is an SOP. This is awesome. You know? And so I think really with, you know, with the timeshare stuff, we just, you know, we've grown really quickly in it. We've gotten a lot of people on board, and I think, you know, Adam's really good. You're really good at creating videos, like training videos. I'm not very good at it at all. I think I've recorded like, you know, 5-minute video, and then I go play it back and I'm like, oh man, it's on mute. You know, I didn't even get my audio. So anytime you would create a video, I would put it in a Google Doc, you know, or something as a process. Like, hey guys, here's the process on how to fill out contracts, or here's the process on how to, you know, distribute leads. And so, you know, so you kind of come up with the meat of it, and then I try to put it into a step one, step two, step three type thing, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of been fun just feeding off each other's strengths, you know, and weaknesses sometimes. Right?
Yeah, man. It has. And And, you know, the baseline, I think where this whole thing started was like, okay, we have the hardest part for any business, I think, in my own opinion, is marketing, getting leads in the door, getting sales. And we sort of like already had that covered. We already knew that we could get, you know, $25 cost per lead, or we knew what the costs were because we've been doing it for so long. Yeah. And we kind of knew, you know, what landing pages were going to convert, what angles to use. So, you know, when we started, the sales team came in, we got our first couple of people in there, it just sort of plugged right in to our system. And so, you know, I guess any other business that wanted to do something like that, if you, I'm trying to really think of an example, but you know, the agency, if you own a marketing agency, that's the obvious example, but you know, what could we think of, like a lawyer, I don't know what a lawyer would do, but if they already have the ability to generate leads for a certain segment of cases, you know, perhaps they could go and into another segment and just apply those same principles and SOPs and all of that same stuff just to another type of client, you know, like going from PI to like Social Security or something,
like family law or something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really been fun, you know, just kind of growing, you know, growing businesses together. And I think one thing that kind of stuck out to me with me and you, Adam, is just like, you know, a lot of people have hobbies of doing things like, you know, playing tennis or, you know, or whatnot, you know, just hobbies. And, you know, I think you and I kind of discussed, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, you know, our hobby is kind of starting businesses. So, you know, like, you know, and, you know, we have at least 40 plus hours a week of work for our marketing company. You know, we want to make sure we service all of our clients and, you know, that we don't take our eye off the ball with our marketing agency. But, you know, after you put the kids to sleep, right, Adam, we're building, you know, we're building processes, we're implementing things, and you know, you're working on the marketing end of the other businesses, you know. And so and then also getting our team involved on some of these you know, side things. We tried launching a skincare brand for a little while once we realized how difficult it was, and you know, we started just working with other skincare brands rather than starting our own.
Into what you said about like leveraging, you know, like the team and the SOPs, like that whole skincare thing. And we didn't, you know, we got it to the finish line. We ended up not launching it. I think we started doing something else, but yeah, like just having, you know, one of our team members go out and say, okay, go make the logo, go make the, you know, go make the brand style guide, then having another one, okay, go make the website, do this, do that. It kind of worked. I still want to launch that at some point. Like, I think we should come back to it.
I think it's, you know, it's kind of neat because, like, you know, ebb and flow of our business, you know, obviously we're not having our team work on our businesses when we have, you know, we've taken on 10 clients last month or whatnot. But, you know, if there's a slow time, which, you know, sometimes there's a slow time for us, we don't take on a lot of clients in a certain month and we're still paying people full-time hours. So, you know, and there's not 40 hours of work for our team to do, we're kind of like, hey, let's have you do, you know, let's have you do this, create a logo or help with the website.
That's good, man. It's like, and so, like, I think applying that to another type of business, like anybody who's watching could take that. And, you know, if you have 10 people on staff, 20 people on staff, and you're going into your slow season, you know, maybe there's a way that you can monetize that labor that you're going to probably pay for anyway, unless you're going to cut your employees, which is unlikely. I don't think most businesses make those cuts at a certain time of year. So, you know, if you've got a block of employees and a block of hours that you're not using, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to, I don't know, if you're a manufacturer and you're making things, maybe take those employees and maybe go out and try to get a new contract to make something else that, or have them do another task that's in their wheelhouse that you could monetize.
Right. So, it's really good just to, to, you know, rather than having to lay people off in slow times, you're having them generate something that could create an income, you know, on another product that we can help fund, you know, our marketing business or whatnot, you know? So yeah, it's been good just kind of leveraging, assets. And I think, you know, when you and I first started, we were, you know, we didn't really talk about this, but we were actually leveraging our credit, you know, we were using our own credit cards, like, you know, having to, you know, pay ad spend of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month, you know, and pay it off. Or, you know, when we were doing affiliate marketing or even, you know, drop shipping, we have to, you know, front some money up front in order to, you know, to get it going. So we've had to, get our own credit cards, like, you know, multiple credit cards, as far as like being able to fund the business. Luckily they're all paid off, you know, and we're good there, but you know, using our credit to help grow the business as well, you know?
Yeah. That's just another thing. Like, you know, if you're, I guess that, you know, that we see a lot of, you know, obviously we talk to a lot of e-commerce brands and we talk to a lot of business owners, and the, what never ceases to amaze me is how many of them come in and they're like, hey, I want to launch this awesome brand or product or skincare brand. And we're like, okay, well, how much are you going to spend on it? Advertising? And they're like, I think $500. We're like, no, that's, you know, if you're going to do something, do it right. Like take your, like, do it, give it a fair shot. You know, you're not going to get anywhere. You don't want to waste money and you don't want to blow, you know, go crazy and blow all your money. But at the same time, if you're going to do something, at least give it a fair shake instead of trying to like piecemeal or nickel and dime. And, you know, I think what we would do, Brad, is we would set aside a certain amount of money and say, okay, we're going to spend $5,000 on this. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been some, there's some stuff I've got P&Ls of products and old products that we tried to launch and spent that much. And it ended up losing, you know, several thousand on it. You know, that there's a desk I can think of that we tried to that specifically, I know we kind of struggled with that, kind of lost the hump of people working at home.
I saw one at the flea market. I think I sent you the picture. I went to the flea market down in Commerce City, which is where I live in Colorado, and we were like, they have like this section of the flea market. It's like a garage sale section where people just come and there's like junk, like tools and just random crap. But I always like to go look through the random junk because sometimes you can find stuff. But I found one of those desks and it was just, it was like $5. I didn't buy it, of course.
So but you know, it's good to, I mean, you know, even, you know, leveraging some of our, you know, just data, you know, to help, like, so there was a few things that I can think of specifically that we used for our, you know, our affiliate marketing or our drop shipping business. Like we found a funnel that worked really well, and then an upsell that converted in the checkout. Remember that? And so we even we're like, hey, this thing converts at a, I don't know, out of, what was it, like a 70% or something
It was super high.
It was really high. And so we went to some of our e-commerce businesses and we're like, hey, let's use this tool that we've tested on our products that had a 70% upsell, right? And we're able to implement it, you know, with not only our company, but with other companies that we work with.
I think the overarching concept here is look at what you have already in place. So if you've got a funnel that converts, if you've got a, you know, if you've got a product that you're selling that's like a cellulite removal product, and now you want to go out and sell weight loss pills, you can probably use that email list from your cellulite removal product to sell those weight loss pills. So it's really about just like monetizing all of the pieces of your business, whatever it may be. If you're a local, if you're a service-based business, or if you're an e-commerce brand, like you got to monetize every aspect, everything. You got to try to monetize every little thing that you have. In fact, we have a client, I'm not going to name them, and they're sitting on a gold mine. They have a massive email list, and it's just such a perfect vertical too. It's like men, you know, men who buy like outdoor stuff, and they're not leveraging it. They're not, they're going to start now, but like, it's just been sitting there. And it's like, you know, for that business, they could take that list, start a whole nother thing, like the Grommet. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Grommet, but it's like a newsletter that sends out cool products, or like the website, This Is Why I'm Broke, website sells little gadgets. And, you know, take that email list, turn it into a outdoors product newsletter and run offers on it, like run affiliate offers on it. It's like, you know, maybe they'll make 30 grand a month more just off of doing that one thing.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Another thought I had, and I hate to say leveraging people, but really more networking with people, you know, I mean, because we're talking about leveraging our marketing company to help other businesses, but really networking with people. Cause like you have, you know, like the, you know, in the timeshare exit industry, you know, just connecting with those guys and working with them over a year and, you know, kind of going back and forth on a few things and really realizing, man, these guys are solid. Like, you know, we trust these guys. They've, you know, they've never, you know, never done us wrong in the past, you know, year and a half as far as working with us. You know, besides, you know, maybe reaching out a lot, yeah. Overly reaching out, but, you know, also, you know, like you said, some of those email lists or some of those other, you know, other ventures of things that we're doing now that we can't really talk about, but, you know, connecting, like one area that, you know, I'm thinking about is we're not very good with, I mean, we're not the best with creating, you know, email campaigns. That hasn't been a specialty of ours. And you networked with the friend of ours, and he does that. And so you even introduced him to some of our brands, and they're like, man, we love this guy. But kind of, you know, doing some ventures with him after working with him for several years, we're like, man, this guy's solid. We, you know, what can we do to do projects with this guy, you know?
Well, he's crushing it. And we can say his name. It's Josh Lee at Note Creative. And he, so if you need an email marketer, that's the guy.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Man, he, good Lord, with one of the brands that we work with him on, not even the main brand, just another brand that we work with him on, it's the anti-snoring device. Mm-hmm. Like just bringing him on with that brand, like the brand hired him, but we introduced him and their sales have like tripled almost. Yeah. And we're spending roughly the same on ads, but he's just capturing the emails. He's got the flow going. I mean, they're going to hit like 10K a day in the next week in sales. That's just
great.
Just that.
And when they came to us, they weren't doing, I mean, there were some days they didn't get sales, right?
Well, they always get like some sales, but yeah, I mean, it was like $1,200 or like 30K a month in sales.
Yeah. So that's awesome. 10Xing almost their business. So definitely need to get him on the podcast as well, Adam. So.
Yeah, he said he's down. He said he'll do it.
Yeah, sweet.
Ian said he would do it too.
Okay, nice.
Hey, man, what was the hardest thing about like getting the from where you sit, getting the sales? Because you had to hire a sales team, right? You had to, because we had all the parts, right? We had the leads, we had the, you know, the marketing funnels, we had all of that ready. But the one thing we didn't have was people that could sell this timeshare thing. So, what was like hard about that?
I would say the most time consuming was maybe the training and then really the recruiting process, you know, just interviewing people. I'm pretty quick to interview. I mean, and when you're hiring salespeople too, you have to realize, you know, with the position that we were hiring for, it was commission only. And so, you know, a lot of people come in strong and then they just fade out, and you know, I've been ghosted a few times from people that we've hired, you know, so just not taking that personal and just going, you know what, you know, not to get too spiritual here, but just, you know what, they've been removed out of our business for a reason, you know, so they're making room for somebody else that's going to be better in the future. So you know, I'd say probably because, you know, I can kind of take that a little personal, that, you know, that like, hey, I spent a lot of time training this person, working with them, recruiting them to find out, you know, 3 weeks later, they're like, this isn't for me, you know, just getting ghosted, flat out ghosting, you know? And so I would say I'd say maybe that's probably one of the hardest parts for me is just, being okay, you know, which I'm working on, personally, being okay with, just knowing that, okay, they're being removed and somebody else is going to take their place. I mean, I think that happened just yesterday, right, Adam? Yesterday afternoon, 5 o'clock. And then we hired somebody at 9 a.m. this morning to replace them, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens that quick when things are, you know, things are moving and you're operating in good spirit, you know? So.
One guy said Adam sucks too. Not unrelated. This was a
venture. I forgot about that guy. Yeah. But if he were talking to you, he would have said Brad sucks, you know? Yeah. So I forgot about that guy. Oh yeah.
I think I wasn't answering his questions fast enough. But
yeah, I don't know what it was. But yeah, you know, it is very time consuming in recruiting. You know, and I feel like we've gotten a good system to where, you know, within a month, we've built a sales team of close to 10 people, you know, on a startup business. So I think, you know, we're, you know, not to toot my own horn, but, you know, there's something happening here. And, you know, I think, you know, just adding some charisma and excitement, you know, Adam, to what we're doing really helps us, you know, make sure that we're growing our business. So,
but yeah, what do you think? It's the like, okay, so if you're gonna, how much problems do you have with people overselling themselves? Like, so for example, I know you seem to have it dialed in now as far as, because what I'm seeing come in are people, timeshare sales exit experience, like people that have that direct industry experience. But in the beginning, we were kind of like looking at people calling themselves high ticket closers, and maybe some of them are good, but maybe some of them are not. But what do you see? Like, do people oversell themselves, or do you see people like trying to interview you, or just everything? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people oversell themselves. I'm still kind of looking for that person that can convert from not having timeshare experience to selling in timeshare. So we're still trying to test that model. You know, I'm really, really hoping that will work pretty soon, because it's kind of hard sometimes to find, you know, timeshare experience. But yeah, I would say, a lot of times people, they oversell themselves. They think they're amazing at sales, and then, you know, they just, you know, just don't do what you anticipate. But then there's some people, you know, that you're, you know, I'm not going to name him, but the guy that's really performed well for us in the marketing agency, I was a little doubtful at first. I don't know if I told you this, Adam. I think he was a recommendation from you, one of your Reddit trends. And you know, and I was kind of in a place where I was just like, oh man, we just brought on two other people. You know, I think I'm going to have to let one go. And I just wasn't in my normal enthusiastic self. And the guy at the end of the interview was like, Brad, I hear hesitation in your voice, and I'm here to prove you wrong. And I was like, okay, man, that's one of the coolest things I've ever heard in an interview. And that guy's really proven to be a leader for our company, brought in other salespeople, you know, really helped, you know, take a load off of me. Just great personality, really like the guy. So what I'm saying is it goes both ways, you know. People can oversell themselves. People can kind of undersell themselves and then really work out, you know? So.
Do you think that if you, let's say, I don't know, like, let's say you get somebody in and they're like, what are the red flags? I guess let's go there. Let's say you're interviewing someone who's allegedly a high ticket closer, but you know, which they probably just maybe took a course or like watched a video or something, and now they're a high ticket closer. But like, what red flags do you have?
I would say my red flags are arrogance. If they come off super arrogant, thinking that they're just gonna, over arrogance. There's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Confidence I'm totally okay with, and I can feed off of. But arrogance just rubs me the wrong way. Another thing is just like, you know, I hate to be this picky, but their communication, you know, like usually I'm like, here's my Calendly, go book a time. you know, and then, you know, if they book a time pretty quickly, then I'm like, okay, these people are on it. You know, but if it takes them a week or so, and then they, you know, then they're like reaching back out, you know, timing is of the essence. Also communication. Do they, you know, do they respond to my emails? Like, hey, let's do Google Meet instead of a phone call. Here's the link. You know, if they don't show up to the interview on time, I had a guy that I've interviewed this week, Google Meet. He was out of the country, and I was just testing because we were looking if we can get Spanish speaking people to sell these. And he showed up, and he was in his car on the phone, and I couldn't hear him for about 15 minutes, and I only had a 30 minute allowed before he was late. And then I was like, hey, let's move it to tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and then he just never showed up. You know.
Yeah.
So just people that are not on time, that don't communicate very well, I tend to bypass pretty quickly. And then, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, we're, you know, if they struggle to communicate, you know, in typed word, and then also struggle to communicate English, then, you know, and then it's sometimes not a good fit either. So.
Man, I can't think of a time where we've ever had anybody like non-English speaker ever be successful with, I mean, I don't think we've ever hired anybody, first of all, but that's just because if we're selling something to old people, which a lot of old people are into timeshares or anything for that matter, you got to communicate it right. And these older folks, you know, they're leery. Like if they get someone from India on the other end, like, hello, this is Zozo, you know, cancel your timeshare. They, yeah, you know, might not respond well to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like, yeah, you kind of have to be, you know, pretty picky on who you pick. But I think, you know, times are changing and it just depends on the market that you're selling to, you know, too. So,
I have a story, about this guy. So I made this Reddit thread a long time ago, and it's how I found our good dude. That's kind of how he came into our lives, was through this Reddit thread that I made. Yeah. But this other guy, you never talked to him, but Brad, but he like stalked me down, and he found, like, he went through my whole Reddit post history. He found an old website that I posted a long time ago, which I don't even own the domain anymore, but my phone number was still on there. So basically he like did a bunch of like research, and he found my phone number and called me on a Sunday afternoon, and I answered it, and I said, he's like, hey, this is so-and-so. I don't even remember his name, but he was like, I saw your post on Reddit, you know? So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Are you, you know, I told him about the two things we had going on, the agency and the timeshare exit. And he's like, yeah. And then he started grilling me a little bit, like, well, you said you're advertised, but I don't see any ads. And I said, well, it's the weekend. It's Sunday afternoon. We're not going to advertise on a Sunday afternoon usually because there's no salespeople to call that lead. He goes, okay, well, why are you there? And I said, hey man, my daughter, I got to get my daughter up. And he goes, okay, well, just a minute. Just give me another minute. I'll let you get to your daughter. I said, hey, man, I'm hanging up the phone.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah.
It was like just a rude, it was like, wow. You know, maybe, is he good at sales? Maybe. But like, it was just, he was just came off really rude and combative. He didn't have a good way of asking. He could have gathered the information that he needed in a way that wasn't, that didn't come off rude or rub somebody the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it was almost like he was just calling on a Sunday afternoon to like, I don't know, but who knows, like maybe he was just getting his rocks off or something, but you know, maybe it was just a fun for him. But anyway, I think to tie that back into arrogance, like that dude was arrogant, and he's actually reached out since then.
Really? And I just,
oh yeah, I don't even answer, I don't even respond to him.
Yeah it just seems like, you know, just you can kind of tell, I think, just being in the business realm as long as you and I have, you know, I feel like I can get a pretty good gauge on someone pretty quickly, you know, or whether I'm going to work. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm 100%. I'd say I'm more like 70% maybe, you know, because we've gone through a lot of salespeople this year. You know, honestly, Adam, I'd like to count it, but I'd say probably 20, 30 plus salespeople maybe this year. Is that, am I exaggerating, you think? Or
no, that's about right. I mean, we've tried so many, like the you know, I think we had the young lady from Philadelphia. She actually got a sale, but she was a high ticket closer.
Mm-hmm.
Then a few others, but yeah, it's been a grind.
Yeah, it has been tough. good.
Well, cool, man.
Good deal. Awesome. Well, yeah.
That's all thanks. I got.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah. Well, this is the third podcast. We'll see you guys on the next podcast. Thanks, Adam.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us now at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.